evening and welcome to Screen Tone Club. This is your, well, it's your second March 2020 bonus episode. We're making this one public for everyone because we've been cooped up, you've been cooped up, we all need a bit of relief. And when you've got a podcast, everything is a podcast shaped hole. And so this is being recorded on the 29th of March for release, hopefully on the 30th of March, 2020. This is a podcast where you have our fortnightly look at manga. But in this case, again, it's a bonus. Thank you, everyone. If you want to hear more bonus episodes like this one, please consider signing up to our Patreon from just $1 a month, and that gets you access to both future and past bonus episodes. As always, massive shout outs to Mr. Rob Jessup, who supports us at the shout outs tier and so gets his name shoved straight into the podcast. My name is Elliot Page, as always, and joining me, as always, as well, is my lovely co-host, Mr. Andy Hanley. How are you doing, Andy?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this bonus episode.
Yeah, love a good bonus squared. don't tell us to cube it or else something bad's going to happen. Yeah, we're recording this one back to back. I'm on my second glass of wine, so let's see how we're going to do. So, the pick for this bonus episode is actually a manga, which I feel like is a slight aberration, but hey, I'm not going to complain. It is Horimiya, a romance slash shoujo series. The original author is Hiro, who originally did the first version of this, called Hori-san and Himiyamura-kun, which was a four panel manga, kind of, if you imagine One Punch Man from 1 to Yusuke Murata sort of thing. And the artist is Hagiwara Daisuke, who also did the manga Nenene, which I think is somewhat quite popular. It's currently incomplete at 14 volumes in Japan and 13 volumes in English. You can buy it digitally or physically. I, as always, get it digitally from Kobo. And it's the story of basically two sort of slightly unusual characters. The first line of the entire manga basically lays out its stall with the idea of, I bet everyone has a side they don't show to anyone else. And that's kind of how it starts, with the titular characters of Hori-san being a very popular, very fashionable girl in high school. Yep, they're in high school. Who basically, as soon as she gets out of school, she runs home to look after her younger brother because her parents are off both working, and so she like puts up her hair and does the housework and takes care of the place, cooks for her little brother and all that. Meanwhile, Miyamura-kun is the very sort of retiring, quiet, slightly gloomy guy who everyone assumes is an otaku, but outside of school he's quite a flashy dude. He's got like piercings, a go-go, and he's got tattoos, and you know, he's actually kind of just an average guy. Like, he's not some secret Yankee or some kind of crazy SWAT. He's just an average dude. And so the two of them kind of fall in together through kind of just a, like, almost like a found family style thing of, you know, kind of having this secret side that they both know about. And this then kind of spools off into their various friend groups. And this first volume is kind of an extended will they, won't they sort of sequence of, well, are they just friends? Is this more than that? Are they just confidants, or are they lovers? Who knows? Let's watch them dance around each other like little adorable dorks. Meanwhile, the entire rest of the cast slowly gets introduced, and they also join in this very silly little dance around each other. You get Toru, who holds a candle for Hori-san, and kind of gets shot down in this first volume. And you also have Yuki, who initially starts as the like nondescript best friend of Hori-san, and eventually slowly starts to become her own character with her own particular sort of angle on stuff. As mentioned, I'm already kind of a fan of this series, but I want to hear what you think about it, Andy, because I've talked quite enough already.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this first volume. Like, it's, I kind of had a bit of a feeling of dread early on from the whole, like, oh, this, you know, this boy and girl character, they're not what they seem, and, you know, they're kind of putting up a facade, because it's like, I've seen this so many times before, and to be fair, it's, you know, it's often done pretty well, but it just felt like something that I'd seen a million times before. But actually, like, it turned out to be really charming for me. Like, I think the main thing that makes this work is, like, once the main two characters are kind of, like, you know, unmasked, as it were, in front of each other, and they get to spend some time together, like, they genuinely have a really good rapport, and it's just really enjoyable just watching those two characters together, because they're very much the kind of people who if you knew them both, like, in that way in real life, you'd be like, oh yeah, they'd make a cute couple. Cause they just, like, really sort of work well together. And a lot of kind of romance manga tend to go for the sort of opposites attract or something kind of along those lines, which can be fun in its own right. But there was something really nice about seeing two characters and just thinking, like, yeah, these two just work really well together. They kind of, you know, they sort of make up for one another's shortcomings in certain ways, but they also have, like, a good kind of core of sort of decency and a kind of, like, there's just something between them that just feels like a spark that totally works. And so I just kind of enjoyed watching those two characters kind of spending time together throughout that volume, and that was kind of one of my highlights, I think.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I used the phrase found family almost kind of by accident, but the two characters initially start bonding over Shota, which is Hori-san's younger brother, who is in kindergarten or preschool sort of thing. And that's how they kind of bond, is, like, you know, Miyamura-san kind of finds a small friend in Shota and also sees how hard Hori-san works to basically look after the entire house. And as I say, they kind of fall into it in this very adorable, like, almost like childminder-ish sort of situation, which I suppose also is what is one of the main tensions of the series, is this jump from friends, but something more than that, to are they actually going to go out? Are they going to, do they have feelings for each other? Are they getting their emotions mixed up? And both of them, of course, go through this sort of thing where they both quite don't know how to deal with their feelings or how to arrange it. Like, Miyamura in particular is, like, utterly tactless and kind of just really flat-faced when it comes to other people and doesn't know, really know what he's doing. Like, he will constantly just, like, out people's secrets and say, oh, do you like her? And everyone else then just starts pratfalling around him because he just said the loud part, the quiet part loud. Which is always a nice thing that I really enjoy Miyamura-kun, where I feel like he's a character who could be very boring or staid, but I think they pitch it right, where he's not, like, a secret genius, like, he's not some kind of secret bad boy. He's just a guy who, like, wanted to pierce his ears one day, and is kind of, he's, like, he's not a massive fashionista, he's not, like, a boy model or anything, like other shoujo series would do, is just make him the hot young thing, idol, blah blah blah. He's just a guy who got himself inked and pierced, and outside of school he kind of enjoys that, but also is scared to death of getting too much spotlight in school, and so, like, just, you know, covers himself up, and half the jokes in this series are him wearing stupid clothing in summer because he's boiling to death. So that stuff really works for me in a case of, like, well, everyone assumes you're some kind of mysterious, like, almost like mysterious transfer level student, but no, he's just an idiot, so good job, moron.
Yeah, and I mean, it's again, it sort of plays against type a little bit, because, yeah, when that character's first kind of introduced and you're like, oh yeah, like, who's the hot boy with the piercings, and then, like, it turns out it's Miyamura, you kind of expect it to be the whole kind of, like, oh, you know, he's a bad boy with a heart of gold. It's like, no, he's not a bad boy at all, he just, like, he just has this weird kind of compulsive streak that ended up with him getting a bunch of piercings and tattoos, and that's it. And that's kind of a little fun thing in itself. But yeah, like, I mean, I think from Miyamura's side in particular, it's sort of, this first volume was enjoyable because, again, we've talked about a bunch of romance-led series, like, on this podcast, and, you know, I think we always roll our eyes a little bit at the kind of misunderstanding side of things, whereas I think this is another good series that manages to avoid falling too deeply into those holes, because, like, Miyamura doesn't really have any misunderstandings as much as he just has kind of a lack of confidence that Hori is interested in him at all. Like, he doesn't really misunderstand anything that she says or does. He just genuinely assumes that, like, oh, you know, she's not going to be interested in me in that way, and, you know, just kind of shrugs it off. Whereas kind of from Hori's side, like, it feels like she just doesn't even really know how to broach the subject. And, like, there's not really much of a misunderstanding on her part so much as a kind of cluelessness as to what she should actually be doing, even when she kind of starts to figure out that, like, maybe she has a kind of romantic interest in him.
Yeah, I think especially it's the fact that, like, she has other shit to worry about, which kind of takes precedence in her life, and, you know, she has other things in the way. And I think that's something that kind of crops up when you've got when Hori-san's mum appears, who basically does the whole era era my my sort of thing right from the off, which I love. Like, I love that stupid joke or that character trait, but even she is almost like nudging her daughter, saying, hey, you can have time for other shit in your life, you know? And she does not see it that way at all. And is basically just like, no, I got to look after Shota. Fuck off. Like, why are you in the way? That's kind of constant, like, from having read ahead, is that Hori-san's parents are a fucking joy in this series because they always turn up to really just dial the stupid up to 10. And, like, most of the misunderstandings aren't, like, you know, because some series will be, like, page two will be, like, setting up the misunderstanding of the week, whereas this is just a case of it naturally rolling through them having this discontinuity. Like, at one point, Hori tells her friend Yuki that, oh, no, that guy I was walking with was my my cousin. And it's just like, oh, God. And it doesn't immediately pay that off because, of course, it can keep that around for later when shit's going to get stupid, which it unsurprisingly does. Which is always good fun when it's just a case of like, well, we don't need to solve this late now, but we can totally do it later and make hay out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they even have the whole like school trip arc, which it skips over the entirety of the actual school trip, which is hilarious. I've got it written down in my notes where basically it's just like someone says, wow, that went by really fast. I'm like, no shit, it did. You didn't spend any time on it.
Like, yeah, that very much felt like a kind of thing where it's like they had it marked down as like, okay, we've got to have some chapters around the school trip because that's like staple stuff. And then they actually got to it like, what do we do with this in this scenario? There's not really, like, it manages to get a little bit of kind of, you know, play out of it, but yeah, it feels like it very quickly like runs out of road and is just like, and then the school trip finished because I don't know, I can't think of anything else good to do in this particular trip scenario.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, this, because this is an adaptation of a previously existing series, like the artist gets to chop and change and adjust the original material to their own, you know, to their own ends. Not quite as much as that sounds, but like they get to like basically smooth out the in-betweens. I mean, the original series by Hero was a 4-panel gag strip that went for 10 volumes, and so there's a decent amount of material, but you know, it turns it into a fully formed serialized story where it's an ongoing thing rather than just 4-panel strip, which, hey, 4-panel strips can be good. Look at fucking Hidemari Sketch. Love that series. But in the case of Horimiya, it can turn it into a ongoing story quite comfortably with these various characters coming in and out and everything kind of meshing together in a nice, pleasant manner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not sure how like far ahead you've read with this, but I mean, but the one concern that I had like getting to the end of this first volume and seeing how many volumes there are is like, I feel like there isn't enough material for the stuff I enjoy to kind of continue for that many volumes. And like, I think my biggest hurdle in terms of like, oh yeah, I might just buy and read more of this is just like the concern that it's either going to enter a really boring holding pattern or it's going to go off in directions that I don't like. So I don't know like how much you've read and kind of whether there's any sort of spoiler-free thoughts that you can share on like how the series progresses.
Yeah, I think I can. Honestly, it's gonna be more structural. I mean, this is the Elliot Page memory problem coming into effect here, but I got to about volume 7. I've bought up to volume 9, but the problem is that I took a break from the series long enough that I've completely forgotten where everything had ended up. So this is not a dig on the series, it's a dig on my memory being shit. But the main thing I'd say is that as has started to happen in this volume is you get Toru, who is now basically Miyamura's friend and still kind of holds a candle for Hori-san. Meanwhile, Yuki, who is Hori's friend, starts to come into the picture. And what kind of happens is it will start to slowly accrue more characters who will naturally get introduced as their kind of, like, the love polygon will start to splinter and adjust, and the relationship map will expand with the addition of new characters. And it will be this sort of ongoing series of accretion of new characters joining the fold, being introduced, having their relationships elucidated with the rest of the cast, and also more things happening with the primary pair of Miyamura-kun and Hori-san, where they will start to go through their own slightly slow burn sort of antics in the foreground, who are still, there's definitely still the pillar and the main sort of question of will they, won't they, what shape will that take, how do they feel about it, and that sort of element. And what kind of happens is this sort of broadening of scope of the rest of the characters coming into the series and then starting to have their own misunderstandings or just different sort of relationships going on. So that's kind of the shape of it, again, up to what I read, which was basically volume 7, where, again, I put it down for a bit too long and completely forgot who everyone was and where they were and kind of just needed a relationship flow chart. But now that I've read this first volume again, I think I'm going to use it as my excuse to continue reading the whole thing and see how far I go and on another run. Does that help at all?
Yeah. Like, I guess my major concern was that at some point it was going to turn into kind of major, like, kitchen sink melodrama and kind of make that the focus. But yeah, I'm probably more okay with it just, you know, bringing in more characters and kind of, you know, keeping what works about this first volume the same. Because, like, yeah. I say, it was very much my feeling that when I saw how many volumes there were, it's like, oh, is this just going to have some massive pivot to be some completely different series? Or does it just, like, keep rehashing the same stuff over and over again?
Yeah, it turns out they both get stands.
You know.
That would be probably the single thing to turn you off, really, wouldn't it? The hardest. But no, it works well. I mean, the actual core relationship between Hori-san and Miyamura-kun, like, obviously without going into spoilers, and I couldn't if I wanted to because I've forgotten most of it, but there are things that happen with that relationship that make it more interesting. I mean, I've already mentioned about Hori-san's parents. You've seen the mum and she pops up again, and Hori-san's dad turns up, who is a massive spanner in all kinds of works. That guy's a really fascinating character on his own. It kind of explores, you know, Hori-san's parents' relationship as well in an interesting way. But the core, I mean, there is also, like, development within the characters themselves. Like, Hori and Miyamura themselves both decide that, you know, there are some changes they want to make to themselves and some development they want to undergo, or things that, you know, development that will happen to them. And that kind of works well as another, like, catalyst for fun events that aren't just like, oh no, I accidentally something broke a vase, whatever. Like, it isn't like, you know, shoujo thing of the week. It does turn into nice, pleasant relationship drama of a natural kind. And there are misunderstandings just between the pair of them as they try and fumble their way towards figuring out what they are towards each other, which, you know, is not just like megaton bullshit. It's a case of, well, we kind of accidentally, like, almost ended up cohabiting before we actually figured out our feelings towards each other. So what the fuck now? Which I'd say is probably the, like, where I'd place it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's cool. That is definitely useful to know.
But I mean, even in this first volume, you see points where Miyamura-kun basically is, like, just going out of his way for Shota, the younger brother of Hori-san, who, like, forms, like, that's kind of the first relationship, is them two being cool with each other. And that's kind of the weird first relationship of this entire series, is little kid and quote-unquote Oni-chan. So that's kind of the weird sort of, like, thing that kind of is the onboarding to the whole series, and that continues apace. And I think even Shota ends up with friends at some point, which is a nice little side note, because he's kind of a guileless cute kid at the end of the day. But he doesn't like carrots, which means he is Satan, because carrots are delicious. What the fuck?
Yeah, carrots are great.
Mm. Even when I was a picky eater kid, I love fucking carrots. What the hell? Come on. Carrots are great.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if there's one kind of, like, safe vegetable, then, carrots closely followed by peas. But we're getting into a whole other podcast.
Well, I was about... Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, well, I'll stop. Sorry.
But, yeah, the other thing I was going to say is, like, I do enjoy, like, the visuals of this series. Mm. Like, particularly for a series that has two main characters that have kind of, like, hidden sides to them. Like, I think that the character designs for Hori and Miyamura are both really good, because, like, Miyamura, the difference between his kind of, you know, sort of, like, emo school version and kind of, like, hot outside version are kind of, it's a really good example of one of those things where you don't necessarily, like, not really knowing the premise of the series, I didn't clock it until it's kind of, like, mentioned, and it's like, oh yeah, of course, I totally see it. And, like, Holly similarly is, like, there's just enough of a kind of switch from her kind of, like, you know, effectively playing mum to her brother versus her kind of slightly more glamorous kind of made up school self that it works really well. Like, it kind of both visually in terms of seeing, like, what mode quote unquote they're in, and also just kind of the difference between the two, it gets that balance just right. And I think all of the character designs through the series are all pretty good and enjoyable. And, you know, generally the whole thing looks pretty nice and slick, but I did enjoy that side of things particularly.
Yeah, I feel like the first chapter, it kind of sets up a bunch of almost mob characters, which, as I say, get fleshed out. Like, Yuki in particular is kind of a, you know, the female protagonist best friend who, like, as she starts to turn up more eventually, like, you see her sort of her charms come through, like the whole, like, long sleeves thing, which I don't know, but I find that adorable and stupid. But I love that character trait. But as you say, like, I think one thing in particular that makes me enjoy this series is that like Hori in particular, like she complains at one point that her friends might see her without makeup, and you can actually see the difference between her being made up and at school versus like, you know, pushing the Hoover around at home. And it's like, oh no, I can see that in her facial design. Like, you know, she actually looks subtly different in how she comes across in the eyes and everything when she is at home because she's taken her makeup off. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that works. Like, this isn't just a case of someone saying, I don't have my makeup. And it's like, you look the exact fucking same, lady. And also your eyes are half your face. So yeah, it really works. Like, it really does work. And as you say, the same thing with Miyamura, where, you know, I mean, also, like, frankly, with most people, if you take their glasses off and move their hair a little, they look like a completely different fucking person. So
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think, like, Holly's character, like, that's a really good point in particular, because often when manga goes down that, like, oh, I'm not wearing any makeup route, it either, like, makes the character look completely different or they basically look identical. Whereas this, like, it almost feels like it's kind of, you know, it's research in a sense, because it is a really believable kind of difference of like, oh yeah, like this is how, you know, a girl will look without makeup compared to with it on. Like, it's just, it just gets that balance right of being subtle but not kind of, you know, crazy over the top, but it's like a very definite difference and kind of in the right ways.
Yeah.
So it really does work well.
Yeah, because you get all the hallmarks of domesticity. Like, she rolls her sleeves up, she puts her hair out of her way, she puts her hair up in a little sort of bunch at the back, and she just gets on with it. Like, you know, it's not like where she's a princess dress running around with a Hoover, which sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, frankly. So yeah, that's again, the art really works. And it's one of these things where the characters, like, kind of, as I say, like, as they get more screen time, they start to, like, slowly emerge into being their own characters. But yeah, I really enjoy it, and it does look kind of lavish enough at the mundanities that it's kind of fun to look at.
Yeah. The one other thing that I enjoyed from a character point of view is, I didn't note down his name, but like the guy who becomes friends with Miyamura after being like a love rival, like that's a really nice, again, always kind of playing against type for this kind of series where, you know, it starts out as like, hey, like, why are you looking at Horia? Like, are you interested in her? Cause like, you know, knock it off. Cause I'm interested in her.
Step off, fucker.
And then it weirdly almost instantly turns into this kind of like pretty deep like friendship bond when like it just kind of turns into this chit chat about like, hey, what's your deal anyway? And then like next thing I know, like, just, you know, like he's visiting Miyamura when he's sick and all that kind of stuff. And it's this really enjoyable little kind of fast friends thing that goes on of just like, ah, actually, you know what? You're kind of an interesting guy. So even though, you know, you're effectively kind of one step ahead with the girl I'm interested in, I kind of like you. We should just hang out anyway. And I really like that little relationship that develops in this volume as well.
Yeah, those two are great, especially because it's almost, comparison, but like, it's almost like a shonen manga where he's the first villain defeated and becomes part of the good guys team. almost, but I do like that guy, especially because like, they kind of, both Hori and Toru kind of glom onto the like, adorable, can't leave him alone element of Miyamura-san, where they both get told that he's sick at home and he's fine, and they both go, no, I don't trust that fucker, he's an idiot, like, he would never look after himself. And so they go, and like, one thing that does continue, not really a spoiler, but basically is that like, Toru does continue to have a candle or carry a candle for Hori-san, although he kind of is happy in the orbit, and that goes in directions sort of thing, like, not in a destructive or stupid way, but it's a case where that is still part of his character, and he is still this slightly like, almost like thwarted Resentiment character, but he's a good lad. Like, I feel like that's one of the things that when I was first reading this series a while ago, is that it gave me hope for it, is that even the side characters have their own internality and their own lives. Like, again, Yuki and Toru both are interesting characters who have their own shit going on, but they do interact with everyone else, and that's what's kind of interesting. And it's kind of like Toru in particular, when he goes to talk to Miyamura and say, hey, fucker, and, you know, Miyamura being such a weird, tactless, guileless moron is what kind of nails him, of like, oh okay, whatever, I can't get angry at this guy, let's share contact information. Which I don't know, from personal experience, that's kind of how friendships start sometimes. It's like, man, that fucker, oh wait, that fucker's a really nice guy, shit. And then you're friends with them, and then you sort of look back and go, wow, I was a prick, oh well, whatever, like, who cares, let's go have a drink.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just like, yeah, sort of dumb conversation somehow leads into more and more dumb conversations, and before you know it, you're having dumb conversations with that person every day, and so it continues. But yeah, I did enjoy that in this volume as well, where it seems like the whole thing with Toru's kind of love interest is done and dusted, and then kind of towards the end of the volume, it's like, oh wait, you're still into her, aren't you? It's like, yeah, I've not given up, and it's like, oh, okay, cool, well, let's just carry on being buddies anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're teenagers, you don't let go of that shit so easy, do you? Like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. But it would have been very easy to just write that and be like, okay, you can just be Miyamura's friend character now. But it's like, no, you know, that's not how this shit works.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, also, again, that's what makes Mahori-san also a really interesting character. Like, I love her dearly because she's a real fucking sweetie pie. And she's far more responsible than even I fucking am as a 30-ish year old adult. But like, she has her own stuff to worry about, like her younger brother, even when her younger brother is like, hey, maybe you should look after yourself a little, and she's like, no, I must feed you carrots, little bastard. So who knows, maybe I don't know, like I'm still being mean because that kid doesn't eat carrots, but you know what I mean. I don't know, like, my general feeling towards this series is one of a general warm hug because the characters are sweetie pies, and I use that phrase a lot, but it's not quite as saccharine as things like My Love Story, but I really enjoy the cast because they are kind of enjoyable, like they have their own, as I say, their own internality, they have their own shit to worry about, and you know, they're not perfect, and they get on with shit, and that's kind of what's lovely about it, is these little idiots kind of like farting around each other, like they're in their own orbit, and that's again really adorable. I mean, hell, like the weird sort of subplot of this is the like pseudo rehabilitation of Miyamura's attitude towards people, because initially, because he's so spooked about people finding out he's got like 8 piercings in his ears, he keeps away from everyone, and then it's like, oh no, don't worry about it, man, fuck it, like who cares. And that's yeah. It's a really nice passive like rehabilitation. Sorry, Andy, I'm talking over you.
yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's one of the almost refreshing things about this series in terms of the romance angle, is that there's not really any feeling of urgency to it. Like, I think a lot of romance series, there's almost this feeling of kind of, you're constantly wanting it to churn and kind of
get on with it,
basically. Yeah. And like, you kind of, you know, you have these characters and you can see they both like each other, and you're kind of, there's almost this feeling of peril, I guess, of just like, well, if they don't like figure this out pretty soon, then something else is going to happen and get in the way, and it's going to ruin everything. Whereas I think with these two characters, you can kind of look at it as like, you know what, they've got a pretty good thing going on, like irregardless of anything that happens from this point. And it's kind of like, it's an enjoyably sort of relaxed experience, because not just because there's no major drama, but it just kind of feels like, you know, these two will just be just fine, like regardless of how things shake out. Like they have a good solid grounding as like a friendship, if nothing else, and that's just cool. Like, you know, if nothing changed from this point and it was just them being buddies, then I don't know, that seems fine too.
Yeah, totally. It has this feeling of, oh, this is very healthy, and that's not a bad thing, that's a totally cool thing. Sometimes that's really smart, and yeah, bless them. I'm a big, as has probably become obvious from this podcast, but I'm a big fucking softie, and I love this series because it is a case of just, oh, these little sweeties, look at them, you know, it's like fucking playing with civilian families or some bullshit. Just, I'm a fucking 35-year-old man watching anime idiots and dance around each other.
Yeah, but I mean, it is nice to see kind of characters who, you know, they feel sort of fleshed out and real enough, you know, without kind of, you know, jumping into all of the usual tropes. And I don't know, there is something to that, that it's free of kind of the drama or the kind of, you know, sort of who's going to get with who antics and, you know, pick your best girl or any of that kind of stuff. Like, it's pretty straightforward. Like, again, I think it is that sort of lack of urgency about anything. There's no real kind of, there's no massive stakes to any of this because everyone's just kind of getting on okay, and, you know, it's just kind of nice to see.
Yeah, and definitely, like, stakes in particular, like, I mean, as someone who is now a veteran of reading all of We Never Learn, it was a case of just, like, sometimes you just wanted the whole, like, bowl element to go away, and just to see the characters get on with it and have character development, which sometimes you had to basically pull out of this gaping lion's maw of best girl stuff, which is very tiresome. Even as someone who enjoys that stuff at times, it gets very tiresome. So, I mean, yeah. Hell, like, yeah. Not to throw more series under the bus, but I've been slowly reading reading Nisekoi, and I am fucking exhausted by that series. Like, oh my god, I'm 5 chapters in and so much shit has happened already, I'm tired. Like,
yeah, yeah, like that's definitely a series that I love to a point, but then yeah, it does kind of become exhausting. And yeah, like there's I love a good kind of sort of harem romantic comedy like that, but also it's really nice to have something that doesn't have the every chapter has stakes of, like, you know, who's going to get ahead in the race to, you know, interest somebody or whatever it is.
Yeah, or another fucking Yakuza gang war predicated upon pretending to have a fucking cinema date.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, cinema dates are already kind of lame, and in our brave new quarantined lockdown future, cinemas don't exist anymore, so God knows what that's like anymore. Anyway, whatever, yeah. I'm tangenting and dating the podcast. Sorry, I feel like I've been dragging this, but, like, no, I'm glad you enjoyed it, mostly because I really enjoy this series. And I, as I say, I'm probably going to use this as my sort of springboard to read more of it, and then, well, look forward to this coming back in Returning Champions, whether you like it or not. So there's that. Any last thoughts from you, Andy?
No, I'm definitely tempted to read more of it, especially given that you've said, you know, it doesn't jump off a cliff or anything. But yeah, like it was a good fun time. Like it was a very easy read, and I sort of breezed through it in no time at all. I'm only disappointed having, like, seen that some of the sort of bonus stuff at the end that the author hasn't managed to squeeze, like, the cat version of Miyamura into the series more, because they clearly really want to.
Yeah, Miyamura kind of turns up with more and more bonus pages as the series goes on, to the point where it has entire story on. Arcs.
Yeah, I mean it was a very clear like oh, hey, here's this fun thing I did, and, like, followed by a note of, like, I really want to put this into the actual manga, but they won't let me.
Yeah,
damn it.
I feel like that's one of the benefits of this, is because it is an adaptation of a previous work and the artist is a fan of the original. It's, again, it's like One Punch Man, although I would argue that One Punch Man the original is also very good, but Yusuke Murata in One Punch Man manages to basically just flex his stupid goddamn hilariously powerful muscles all over that series. Even if I'll admit that, like, One Punch Man kind of bored me with the plot line, like, reading that manga is some kind of fucking, like, gallery of stupid panels that are beautiful. Holy cow. But yeah, I love this series. It's great fun.
Yeah, indeed it is.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you also enjoyed it, Andy. It's one of these, again, I'm one of these people who, like, oh no, will my friend like this thing I like? Oh shit. But hey, here we are. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. This, as mentioned, is a free bonus episode. If you fancy, please consider joining up to the Patreon so you hear more bonus episodes. That stuff really helps. We are getting close to our goal of 2 bonus episodes a month, so maybe consider chipping in. But hey, I know things are tough right now, what with lockdown and everything. So, as always, thank you very much for me, Elliot Page, and my lovely co-host, Mr. Andy Hanley.
Yeah, thanks very much for listening.
Yep, and because I should pimp a few more things, this is a publicly available episode, you can follow us at screentone.club, our lovely website. You can follow our lovely Twitter feed at screentoneclub on the Twitters. You can send us an email if you fancy at show@screentone.club. And yeah, that's kind of it from us. So thank you very much from me and from Andy. So good night.
Bye, everyone.